Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Johto Quorum. As we reassemble, the Pokemon world may never be the same, because we are on the eve of destruction. No, I guess we'll get one more episode before Sword and Shield come out. I'm wrong.
And I'm left. And neither of us are right.
This is
bad. We should delete this episode. Starting over three.
We don't do that here. Listen, that would be like deleting stuff from like a court transcript, right? This is an official proceeding. That's why when I edit, nothing gets removed. Definitely nothing.
At all. Especially not
definitely
this.
No one ever goes to the bathroom or loses an internet connection. That never happens.
That was a classic Quorum moment, folks. If you're not caught up on the Quorum, first of all, what are you doing? Get on it. Second of all, hi, it's Alan at Six. We're here to talk about Pokemon. We got Pokemon on the brain just like everyone does right now because we are less than 2 weeks from the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield. Six, do you have your game pre-ordered yet?
I tried today, actually, and it wouldn't let me.
Yeah,
they were like, nah, you got to talk to your card holder. And I was like, I've got enough money. They just think this is really suspicious that I would buy a Pokemon game.
I mean, they are absolutely right.
Yeah,
it is suspicious.
I guess it might have been because I was trying to buy the like the Sword plus Shield version.
What
and
are
my
you
credit
doing?
Card was like, yeah, that's probably what my credit card was doing too. Is like, no, think again. This is a bad idea.
Why? Your ability to use your money in irresponsible ways astonishes and impresses me sometimes.
It's really something, isn't it?
Yeah. I pre-ordered Shield. I didn't think I was going to right away, and then I budgeted for the month and was like, oh, I can afford just this will be my game. I'm really tired of reading about people being angry about that, though, about the Dex. Sorry,
yeah,
Dexit. Excuse me.
So, like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Either you like Pokemon or you don't.
Okay.
And if you don't, shut up.
Oh.
Like,
wow.
These are people like, okay. Let's actually try and be the people to seriously address this, right?
Sure. Sure.
What are they upset about?
My favorite's not going to be in the game. I want Squirtle.
Okay. Play the other games.
But this is the new one. I want the new one to have Squirtle in it.
Play new things in the new game.
But I want my old friends in this game. I want to make the perfect team. I can't bring Alolan Raichu into this game. I had a good Alolan Raichu in the Pokemon Bank.
The definition of the word perfect means the best possible underneath the circumstances, without flaws. If you make a team that is optimal within the Pokemon that are within Sword and Shield, then it is perfect for Sword and Shield. Mm-hmm. You can make the perfect team.
But there was this Reddit post that was like, the disconnect between Game Freak and the Pokemon fanbase is clear. And it's like, yeah, because the Pokemon fanbase is not, like, it's not five people. It's not just the subreddit. This is a consistent problem with, like, fandoms, especially on certain websites, where they think that they are the voice of the entire fandom. And, like, I do actually know a decent amount of people who are like, yeah, I'm not pre-ordering this one, in part because of the Pokedex. But that's not, like, everyone's problem. I mean, the always on EXP share annoys some people, but, like, too bad. It's fine if Pokemon's a little easy. Like, why do you want it to be hard so badly? Think about that. Maybe play a harder JRPG if you want a hard game.
People just play Black and White 2 and don't import anything.
Just make that game can be as difficult as you want it to be. Any of them really can. I mean, when I was playing Platinum, it was like, if I just progress forward and never grind, this game is like perfect difficulty. Except when you have to get all the HMs, that's annoying. But so there's that. There's people saying it looks lazy. They're like, the open world doesn't look that interesting. And it's like, you haven't played the game yet. This is the thing with Nintendo, is you're not going to know what their games are like until you play them. Or they're out.
And it's just, I don't know. Alan?
Six.
What if we didn't talk about new Pokemon this time? What if we just talked about this? What if we just talked about this?
Is there an episode's worth of this?
Well, we'll go until we're satisfied, right? Okay. And if that's enough, that's enough. But like, so okay, here are the arguments are like, I want my fave, right? Okay. And it's like, one, they'll probably add it later, they'll probably add the national decks later.
Yep.
This is like Black and White, when they wanted you to start over, like, to not just bring everything in. There's the argument of like, well, we want like the competitive options, right? And I am sympathetic to that, but I could also totally see them creating like a game that is just like Pokemon Stadium, right? Like a modern Pokemon Stadium that's like, no, this doesn't really have anything in it except for the verses, and it accommodates every Pokemon.
Right, they haven't done anything like that in a while.
And like this, I think, given with like Pokemon Home and all this stuff, they're setting the stage for that sort of thing. I think also, if you think about it, I know people throwing their you know, like Brexit adjacent tantrums aren't really capable of thinking in this kind of way, but like, did you really think this could go on forever? Did you really think the Pokedex could be infinitely added to and that would never cause any problems for development?
Right. Why does every single generation have to have the entire previous Pokedex? Like, it doesn't make logical sense, actually, for them to be in the main story. It makes perfect sense for them to pick and choose. Like, we have a gigantic library of weird characters and Pokemon that don't all fit one identity. Let's make an identity and then pick the Pokemon that fit that and not include the other ones, so that it's not just like you run into a Melodic over here and you run into a Basculin over here and they're fighting each other. Like, you don't have to make a like infinite ecosystem, because that's not how the regions in Pokemon work.
Right. And also, I mean, like, I don't, this is like, you know, I'm sure everyone who's been a longtime fan of Pokemon had this moment. For me, it was around Gen 5, it was around Black and White, of realizing that this was going to happen, right? That they were like, oh wait, they're creating a new Pidgey and a new Rattata, but they're also bringing in Pidgey and Rattata. This is not built to last. And so I feel like okay, let's look at it another way, right?
Yeah.
Every generation, there are mechanics, there are ideas they come up with that get left behind, right?
Yes, correct.
Rotation battles, Pokemon contests,
oh God,
Pokestar TV, all these things, and they get left behind, right? Why are people not upset about that, but they're upset about the Pokedex? Or at least largely. I mean, I'm sure there's
right,
someone
say,
out there.
Someone's mad.
There's, right. I bet if I search Twitter, I could find someone be like, why can't I be a Pokestar?
Right.
Which, good question, but also, no. What do you think it is that some elements of Pokemon feel like they should last forever to these people?
Well, I think these are elements that people think are fundamental to like what is enjoyable about Pokemon. Because for some people, it's the catchphrase. It's catch them all. It's got to catch them all. And if you're like, well, you're not going to put all of them in there, then you're not letting me do the thing that the game is fun. That's like fun in the game.
So it's a checklist to them.
You what?
It's a checklist to them.
I mean, somewhat. It's like, if I can't, like, why? It doesn't feel complete if I don't have all the whole decks. I understand also, like, because the decks thing, it ultimately comes down to some people feel like it is a game that's like cutting back in scale, and like, yes, they can't just keep upping the scale on these games. You're never going to get the like all region fucking all 800 Pokemon in one game thing. That's not going to happen, because new people need to play these games and be like, what is this? You have your like weird online ROM hacks and stuff like that if you want to play a version that's like that.
And also, you probably will get that eventually.
Yeah.
They'll add it post-launch, it'll be fine. Or they'll do another, like, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee-style game that'll bridge the gap or something, right? But, like, okay, so let's take an example from another genre, right? People like them Bethesda games, right? Those Bethesda RPGs.
Yeah, somehow.
And recently, there was a game in that style released by the name of The Outer Worlds.
Yes.
And people seem to be liking it a lot.
Yeah,
it's getting a lot of praise. And one of the things that it has done is it's taken that game and said, okay, let's make it smaller and more compact, and thus a better, like, a more refined experience. In The Outer Worlds, you're not able to go fucking, like, farming. You're not able to learn carpentry. You're not able to follow some fucking trader around the map to see what his route is and who he has friends with in other towns like you could in, I don't know, Fallout 3. But that trade-off comes with something.
Right.
And by and large, it seems like people are realizing that, hey, that trade-off was worth it. There are things about Pokemon that they can't change. Like, Pokemon is a stale franchise. It doesn't mean it's bad, but it is stale. It is stagnant in a lot of ways. And part of that is because there's so many things they have to include that they can't change a lot of things.
Right.
If you were to say, we need a new ability system, you just fucked your budget.
Yeah.
You'd have to redo almost 1,000 abilities. Actually, more than 1,000 abilities,
at
wouldn't
you? At this point,
you?
Yeah.
And, like, that's untenable. And exactly. So, it's, I don't know, I'm not, like, I'm not under any illusions that people are going to listen to this and they're going to be like, you know, I was against the lack of national decks, but now it seems great to me.
No.
Right?
We're just saying what we think, you know?
Right, but, like, no one, people are either just, like, they're either one of those people saying, like, national decks or my Switch in the trash,
mm-hmm.
or they're people saying your concerns don't matter. I think your concerns matter to an extent, but you need to realize the ways in which you're being silly. Like, I want someone, and I guess it's us, to present the argument of, like, no, this will make the game better.
Right. Understand that them having a limited scope has made the games better. Hell, Sun and Moon got a lot of flack when it first came out because people were like, wait, there's no gym battles? Like, what the hell are these trials? And, like, it makes the game feel a lot more dynamic and interesting that you're going places and fighting people. Instead of what they did four generations of, where it's like you go to a place, or I guess five, you do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6, because 5 kind of breaks them out a little bit. You go to a building, you fight some guys, you never meet them again. At the very least, 5 was a big deal because it was like, oh, sometimes they go outside of the gym and they're characters who talk to you and your professor and your rival. Like, people do want some sorts of changes in Pokemon. I think that's an objective fact.
Which would you rather have? The experience where you walk into a building and it's like, oh, there's a youngster and I could walk up to them and fight their 7 Rattatas, or I could take a slightly longer path to walk around them and not fight their Rattatas. Or the experience in Sun and Moon where it was like, okay, if you want to fight the gym leader, these Marowaks are going to dance and you got to count the Marowaks. That was cool.
It's fucking cool. It's an interesting idea. It's different.
It was also funny because they tried to present it like it was hard and it was not at all hard, and that was the joke, and it was really funny.
3 slow-moving Marowaks, and they're like, can you catch them? I'm like, yeah, I can.
And then you're like, 3, and they're like, what? Whoa. How did you know?
You genius. So there's that, and then there's, like, the opposite problem, which is, like, in terms of scale of Pokedex, they're shrinking down, but then in terms of scale with, like, moves and transformations and abilities, they keep scaling upwards. And mm-hmm. I do think that, like, it's getting a little bit bloated, but they're not using, like, I don't think there's going to be Z moves in this one. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make more Mega Evolutions. People keep saying, like, oh, Dynamaxing is, like, another shitty ice cream scoop on top of the crap ice cream that they've been making for the last 3 gens. Because they keep adding transformations, and it's like, they're probably taking some of them out. Dynamaxing makes sense in this game because there's stadium battles where your guys are, like, big on the TV, like, check out this epic fight. That is the point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it was really hard to be able to do any of the fucking Mega Evolutions in Sun and Moon. You had to kind of go out of your way.
You had to find them, look up a guide, like, where do I get the Mega Stones and all that crap.
Uh-huh. And so I totally expect a situation where either through DLC or patches, or, as we mentioned, like, a stadium equivalent, like, it would be interesting to have the game where it's like, okay, you can have your team, and you can have Z-moves, or, you know, Mega Evolution, or Dynamax, and, like, what's your pick, or how do those interact with each other? But, like, it's part of Pokemon's thing, it always has been,
mm-hmm.
that each region has its own flavor in a lot of ways, including the way combat works.
Yes. It is this is to me the biggest disconnect that I've ever had especially with the Pokemon fan base, because I definitely think that they're like they get angry about stuff that doesn't make sense to me, and they have problems that I don't have problems with. That happens all the time with every kind of video game fans are in general tend to be very angry, but like, I want to understand this, and every time I ask someone, they're just like, oh, they're selectively pruning the decks. Like, why are they picking these specific ones? And it's like, they've always done that. They do. That's what they do. This isn't a new thing.
It feels like there's a generation of I want to say newer Pokemon fans, and I don't have facts to back that up, right? You can okay boomer me if you think that's the correct answer to what I'm saying here. That's,
yeah,
I'll accept that response. But it feels like there's a newer generation of Pokemon fans who started, I don't know, like X and Y, maybe Diamond and Pearl, or I don't know, but started later, and are treating these like Ubisoft open world games where they need to get bigger and more bloated every time. Exactly. Where they're like, wait, they got rid of the mini game where I get the dual blades? It's like, Yeah, because that's not relevant to what the game is anymore.
Yeah. Did you see the tree post from a little while back? People complaining about the graphics in this game back in the summer. There was like some post that got big where someone was like putting a picture of a regular tree in the open world of Ocarina of Time next to a tree in the trailer for Sword and Moon, and everyone was Sword and Moon of Sword and Shield. And everyone's like, the trees look bad, the game is ugly. And it's like, I just feel like sometimes games discourse is never going to stop being mad about certain things. Like, we're just not going to grow out of these problems.
Well, and you know, I think there's also a level of like the way I'm really going into full old fool
yeah,
territory.
Yeah, that's what the podcast
here.
Is. It's okay.
But it's like there is a way in which the current landscape of games criticism, which is leaning more and more into personality based stuff and like YouTubers and streamers, which I don't have a problem with. There are YouTubers that I enjoy. But Giant Bomb is just like glorified YouTubers, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a burn. That's just true. But like there are a lot of these people who are becoming big voices in gaming and having a lot of confidence and power in their opinions without having a lot of context.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of people, because that's to me, that's the big difference between what I think of as like a proper games critic and like a YouTuber, is the YouTuber is often, not always, going to say something like, well, they should have just put another 10 levels in this. And the great game critic is like, well, that's another $300,000 we're
right.
talking about. There's a level of backseat development that goes on these days that is frankly insufferable.
It really is. It's like when we talk about all these previous generations and we talk about what we liked and disliked about them, and I know I've written before even about like how I like settings and I like intimate scale. I see this new one as like Game Freak is realizing we're on a new platform. This is not the time to make the like crazy ambitious gigantic Pokemon game. This is our chance to make like a well-functioning, entertaining, like memorable little game for people to like play for like a couple months and catch everything, and they're going to stop being annoyed eventually, and then we'll like patch in more shit in it if like the drop off is happening before the holidays. Like, it's mm-hmm. then they're making that. And so I see that, and I'm like, absolutely, I'll pre-order this day one. Like, I want to have this game the second it comes out and talk about it on this podcast. But I don't understand, in the case of this, like, what is it that people wanted? Because if we're going to keep telling the developers, like, we want the mega game, we want the full Pokedex, like, they can't make that. It's not going to work out like that, especially with the, what's up?
They could. It is feasible for them to make be like, okay, we'll include the full Pokedex every time. Understand what you're asking them to sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think they could do it if you don't want them to do things like add very many, like certainly add new mechanics, add not very many new Pokemon, recycle regions, recycle gyms, recycle characters and plots. If you want them to recycle a whole bunch of stuff, and it seems like y'all don't, given by the way you bitch any time an animation resembles another animation, then, you know, like, if there's... These games are made. They don't manifest.
Yeah, this is like actual labor that people are putting into these games to make them. They exist out of a desire to make the game and put it out, like, truly... Yeah. It's not just a thing that you just like put on Lego blocks on top of. The animation thing is hysterical to me, that people made such a big fuss about like these animations look like the old ones, and then they have to come out and be like, we redid them to look like the old ones. They are redone though, you guys. Like, stop yelling at us. We are people.
And also, like, do you want it to like the alternative? Like, let's say they went a different way and they're like, we did completely new animations. We wanted a completely different style, and then you get people being like, how come Pikachu doesn't move like Pikachu?
Right.
Like, it's ridiculous, and I think it just ultimately people like, I don't want the takeaway of this to be the Quorum says don't criticize games.
No,
absolutely
not.
That's
the whole premise of the podcast.
Right, and also a lot of my work, right?
Yeah.
Like, we write stuff where we're like, I'm working on some stuff. I've written some stuff recently about, say, like Disco Elysium. I got things to say about that game. I will probably have negative things to say about Pokemon. I don't know how I'll feel overall. I expect I'll like it. Could possibly not. But like, to a reasonable extent, allow yourself to wait until the thing exists to criticize it.
At least.
And, you know, like, if you want to say, like, I'm not interested because of these changes, like, I personally think that's a little early to make that call, but mm-hmm. you're allowed to make that call. You don't have to buy things to know if you want them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do think you've kind of given up the right before anyone has played it to say that it's bad.
Right.
And you also especially have given up the right a long time ago to tell the people who've made Pokemon for 30 years what Pokemon is.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they know.
I'm pretty sure they do check all of these places that people yell at them, and they have an intern that looks at these websites. Like, they it's not like they don't care.
And even if they didn't, like, fucking...
They test their games. They have...
They are the Pokemon people,
right? They make
right?
them. They've always made them, yes.
Why don't you come to me and tell me what a Scanline podcast is supposed to be, and I'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
It's what we're
I'll
doing.
I'll tell you what a Scanline podcast is supposed to be. And yes. If you think it's bad, please tell me. That's valuable. But telling me that it's not our brand?
Yeah.
I know that better than you do.
This isn't Pokemon. I know Pokemon. And it's like, but I made it. I made it for it. I'm the one who made this. Yeah. It's a thing that's unfortunately extremely common in gaming is... people feeling like this connection to a franchise that they think that they control it or know it better than the actual makers.
Mm-hmm.
And people like wielding the words of Junichi Masuda in all of his interviews being like, he sounds like such an old guy. He doesn't understand what makes his own games good. And it's like, he made them. They wouldn't exist without him. Again, I'm not saying don't criticize him. Like, yeah, not everyone plays phone games anymore. We're not all 5-year-olds. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of difficulty in Pokemon, but like, you are not the Pokemon company.
And also, like, who cares? Okay, let's say he doesn't know what makes his games good.
He's also
right?
one guy.
He's also one guy. And also, if he keeps doing it, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care if Hideo Kojima understands that his politics are dumb and funny. As yeah. long as I keep being dumb and funny, I'm here for
I'm
it.
I'm ready for it. Yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm
Alan,
excited.
It's time to have the conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have the real conversation now.
What is the greatest Pokemon generation?
Oh, it's Gen 5. What? It's Gen 5.
Okay, so, okay, let's rank them.
Okay.
I'm opening a document.
Oh my god, really?
So let's start off by talking about Generation 1 of Pokemon.
Okay, so we have a guy's name, Fushigigane. It's Bulbasaur, everyone. No.
So, looking at Pokemon Gen 1,
yeah.
right? Are we counting side games? Are we counting, like Stadium in this?
I think you can. Do you consider... I mean, that came out before Gen 2, right? Like,
yeah.
the games that come out within the period of the generation, I think.
It's true, but I think at some points it gets kind of... like, I mean, at least in my case, I won't be able to track, like, which one Colosseum belongs to.
Oh, fair. Fair.
So do you want to talk about the main ones?
Sure.
For now? Okay. Gen 1. What is Gen 1 of Pokemon to you? Red, green, blue, yellow. I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about, like, thematically. I'm talking about what it represents.
Weirdly hard. Like, weirdly hard. Pretty grindy. Interesting, weird, exciting, funny, mm-hmm. creepy, and a lot of different tones and moods. It like jumps around a lot.
Yeah, I think you've got a lot of like. I think probably to this day, I would call the place with the ghost tower. What's
Lavender
it called?
Town.
Yeah, to this day, I would still call Lavender Town probably the best example of, like horror style in Pokemon.
Yeah, I think so.
It works in a way that other stuff doesn't. But it's also interesting because that brings you to the question of, like, does that make it very Pokemon, right? Like, never again do we have anything like the Sylph Scope and like Pokemon that don't like that you can't even comprehend, and like those aren't franchise ideas.
Well, Gen 1, it's defining those ideas because it has stuff like all the tech of the Sylph Scope and Team Rocket, but then also like this ancient powers and ancient evil. Like it is a game in a lot of ways about like the advancing of time and technology in its setting, because it's like in an old place where people are using new tech to like unearth power for the sake of current, for like the sake of profit. So it's like idealized, it's very hard to pin down because it feels so chaotic thematically. But like as games, it's probably the most straightforward one. You do the gyms, you beat the Elite Four, you beat Team Rocket, you beat the game. That's the whole game.
Okay. And overall, I mean, we've talked about, you know, our numbers as far as like cut and keep, but for Gen 1, we kept about 62% of Gen 1 Pokemon.
Wow.
So, I think that's less than I might expect. Mm-hmm. I think perhaps we're in our memory, we're kinder to Gen 2 than, or kinder to Gen 1 than we actually would be if we looked at them. But I do feel like it is kind of, a lot of those designs are nucleic in a way, right?
Yeah, they're baseline for different designs.
So moving on, okay, that's by default, that's number one on our list. It'll get moved around as we go. Gen 2, I feel like was really focused on making it feel like Gen 1 felt like an adventure, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from like the Sylph Scope to like the narrative threads and things.
Love the Sylph Scope.
I feel like it's singular.
It is.
There is no other example in Pokemon of the unknown being represented in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
It never happens again, and I feel like that's really meaningful to the tone of Gen 1.
Yeah.
Gen 2, it feels more like Gen 1 is an adventure through a strange place. Gen 2 feels more like home to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, you've got day and night. I think there's something very welcoming about, like, coming off of a nighttime route and seeing the glowing yellow lights of a city.
Yeah.
I think the way that people will call you for rematches and just to chat was a very community style thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like even with the rival, right? Like in Gen 1, the rival was this guy who was just like, oh, he's the real genius here, and you're matching him, and eventually you beat him. But it's like, you know, the Gary Oak representation in the game isn't quite as Gary as he is in the anime, but it's still like, oh, here's the young prodigy. And you're just the kid who's chasing after him, chasing his shadow, because he's always one step ahead of you. And in Gen 2, the rival is an asshole. And it kind of becomes about how you're the people's champion.
Yeah, you're the face this time.
You are, like, this person is your rival because they are treating this community badly, and you are here to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a bigger scale. It's a little bit more of a heroic story. And obviously bigger scale in the fact that it's two worlds in one.
Yeah, you do get that triumphant march through, you know, after you beat the Elite Four, you get the triumphant march through Kanto, through the region of the first, which is really, I think, is really something. You know, it's a moment that you don't get anywhere else. You don't get anything like that, that kind of like victory lap, you know?
Yeah, the victory lap, the like celebration of what's already been there, and then building on top of it and saying we can change things and make a distinct vibe that still feels like part of a cohesive whole. Just the day and night as a concept, like we talk about every time we do a new gen, like here's these cool little things that they added, like there being a mart in the Pokemon Center, and then this one it was like they added nighttime, and you're like, what? Like there's, it added a lot of like depth to the play experience.
And they also made it like Animal Crossing nighttime, right? where it's like reactive to your actual real world time.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, it is in some games and it isn't in others. And I thought that was interesting, and just sort of like, you know, when you open up your, like, Sun and Moon sort of do it so that, like, it, in Moon, everything is 12 hours ahead. So if you open up at night, it's day. If you open up at day, it's night.
Right. And if you could switch between them, spoilers.
Yeah.
Same point.
Which just feels very gamey. Whereas this really does feel like it's trying to, like, you're stepping through a portal to this other familiar world, right? More than any other Pokemon generation, I feel like it is made for Pokemon fans. You thinking about that one? You're considering?
Yeah, I think in terms of what? Considering what part?
I mean, like, because it's just, like, tonally, it's a lot of... The way everyone treats you as a friend, and not like tangentially, like the NPCs have a friendly tone, but the way they'll call you for rematches, the way it reflects, you know, your real world time, the way you get to revisit the first game, which at this point is the entire Pokemon world.
Yeah.
I think it feels very much like the, you know, I hate this game, but the game I'm about to reference, but like... In Red Dead Redemption 2, when you realize you can go back to the world of Red Dead Redemption 1, that's like, it's like, oh shit.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I need to get my copy of RDR 2 back from my
You
pack.
Don't! It sucks!
Oh, I don't? Okay. I couldn't get past the prologue.
It's, I don't like that game. But like, no. The moment where you realize they just put the rest of, like, you know, they didn't put the story content, but like, oh, there's this whole other, like, area in here. That, like, they don't draw attention to till you're, like, 100 hours into that fucking game. And you're like, oh, that's crazy.
Right.
And there's something about that that feels very, reverential, I would say, to the first.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, addition. The thing with the new gens is always, like, oh, they're trying new things. They're trying to make you feel like you're more in a known place. So they're trying to make the gym leaders likable. And Gen 2 is, like, the basis for all of that stuff. It's the first one where they tried so many new things. Like, what if there was day night? What if you could go back to another place? Or what if people called you and wanted to talk to you? And, like, doesn't that make you feel attached to the world a little bit more? And it did. It definitely did. Mm-hmm. In its own, like, smaller scale way, you know?
And also, I mean, like, you know, it added stuff like the you know, like, shinies and babies, but, like, whatever. I feel like a thing that's really, like, seems unimportant just as a stat, but when you think about it, is really important as far as the feel. Gen 2 is the gen where every trainer has a name.
Did they not on the first one?
No. It's just like youngster wants to fight, and in Gen 2 it's youngster Joey.
Whoa. I had no idea, actually.
Yeah. And that's part of that feel I'm talking about where you're dealing with a bunch of friends and neighbors, right? Because it's like, oh no, of course you know their name. It's Joey.
Yeah. He's gonna call you.
And he's going to be like, I caught a, you know, a Rattata, but he was a little too, you know, he's a little too wily for me. So I think we got to spend some time training and bonding. Anyway, bye. And you're like, oh, thanks, Joey. Or if you're playing like me, a Japanese ROM, you're like, beeping happened and then a bunch of Japanese characters scrolled by and I'm scared.
Somebody wants to fight me suddenly.
Yeah.
Never God. Not hilarious to me.
So I feel like Gen 2 right now is the top of our list. It's better than Gen 1.
Certainly, yes.
Okay. Here's where we start to be a community divided, because we're going to talk about Generation 3.
Oh, fuck.
Before this podcast, I would have immediately said Gen 3 right now is the bottom of our list.
Really?
Now I'm willing to have more of a conversation about it.
Okay. Oh, man, we're going to get some people angry.
Yeah, you know, it's the quorum. Look.
I'm ready
if you want to listen, it's you don't. If you want to yell at city council, attend the meetings. Right.
The list right now in Alan's head is 2 at the top, 3 is number 2, 1 is at the bottom. This shouldn't be hard.
Okay, so let's talk about 3. Right.
Yeah.
One. The team is stupid.
Yes.
There's 2 teams who are like, let's destroy the planet or let's make the planet bigger.
Yes.
That's dumb. We got double battles. We got Pokemon contests with Pokeblocks.
Bad.
I agree. It has a lot of not very good legendaries, in my opinion.
Love Deoxys.
Berries are up. They redid berries. Like, what is... Okay. There's the Fire Red and Leaf Green, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that might be a good opportunity because it's taking literally an old generation of game and being like, here it is in this new system. So tell me, what is it about Gen 3 that speaks to you?
The setting is really memorable. All the different towns you go to. I like that sort of oceanside vibe that a lot of that game has because about 50% of the map is water. It felt the most fun to progress through. Like, it's a very... I can, like, most clearly remember the map of Hoenn in my head if you ask me to, like, walk around it right now.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
Huh. Okay.
Despite... I mean, I like... We'll talk about Gen 5 in a little while, but that map is, like, really fucky in a specific way because it's circular.
Mm-hmm.
Gen 3's map is the most, like, you can navigate this. Like, you could, like, pull up a map and tell someone, like, go up Route 3, then go right, and then go across the bridge, and you'll get to...
This is from memory, but isn't it sort of like an almost like your route along the game is like an L shape, like up and then to the sort of to the east, and then there's a scattering of islands sort of the southeast.
Yes.
That about right?
Yes, it's like an upside down L.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That is a very, it has a very memorable geography, I think.
With a lot of big cities, which is always fun, but then a lot of, like, little villages. And the water gave them lots of places to explore, especially in the remakes. They added, like, the sunken ship stuff. Like, they got the most out of that setting that you could really can with that game. Also, there's a big volcano.
I will definitely say that as far as geography, I think Kanto Generation 1 is very weak.
Okay.
So I will definitely agree that Gen 3 has better geography than Gen 1. I'm going to look at a little map of Johto here. Yeah, Johto's okay. I do think Gen 3, you're right, the geography of Gen 3 does speak the loudest of the ones we've encountered so far.
Yeah.
I feel like mechanically, a lot of the changes they made were just like sidesteps. I've talked about it before, but Gen 3 is the moment where I realized that it wasn't just going to be that every game was, like, strictly speaking, better than the last. They were going to start being, like, side grades.
Yeah. Sword and Shield, almost out.
Wow.
So,
like, you know, like, I think the contests are worthless. I hated the contests.
I agree.
I think they, like, sort of, like, do, like, double battles, which I don't think were very interesting.
Not really. Especially, like, when I get a double battle and I'm playing in my playthrough of Black 2, I'm just like, ugh, I got one of these guys is ready to fight anyone, and the other one is my second Pokemon. Like, I don't plan to get into double battles.
Mm-hmm.
I just find myself in them, and then I'm like, alright, well, one of you is gonna carry this, and it never feels, like, even in a way.
Right. I agree. And then also we have, like, weather, which I feel like honestly is a negative addition. I feel like weather is just annoying. It doesn't add anything of value.
Oh, it's just like an uncontrollable thing that affects spawn rates.
And also, like, I mean, I don't know if it's as of this one. I forget when it started to, no, this one has hail. So it also has some of the ones where it's like, oh, everybody's taking damage over time, unless you're an ice type. It's like, that's just, it's, I don't feel like it's a value add.
Oh man, and then Gen 4 is like, what about mist? Never ever talk to me about mist, please. Defog or whatever. Or yeah, I guess it's fog.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking fog.
Also, I want to note that Crystal added animated sprites.
Oh, I love animated sprites.
And Gen 3 took them out again.
Oh.
Wait, Gen 3 was like, no, we don't need those.
But then Emerald was like, no, we got them.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
The new platform ones... Here's a weird thing to think about as we reflect. It's almost like the new platform ones often have to scale back to accommodate the new platform. What?
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Looking forward to, you know, what would be And people make the gun joke, and I think that's stupid. But like spear would work, right?
Yes.
Pokemon spear.
Spear, javelin.
Javelin's too specific.
Javelin's a little like violent for it,
as opposed to a sword, which is such a peaceful weapon.
Pokemon wand. Pokemon staff. Pokemon wand, I want like Pokemon
which
halberd.
Takes place on.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
I think I would put Gen 3, you know what, just because of the pace is better, I can see it at number 2.
Okay.
Because the pace of Gen 1, like, you know, obviously the trendsetter, but the pace of Gen 1 really is pretty terrible.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time just going on routes. You're in routes mm-hmm. a lot.
And also just, like, having, like, you know, shit like Mount Moon, which is just like, oh, it's fucking... Or the fact that with if you have Charmander, then that first gym is just like, oh, this is insufferable.
I guess I'm just going to suffer. But then the game gets easier. Now, yep. Speaking of games that have insufferable systems and get everything in your way for too long, let's talk about Gen 4.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. You know, the bad ones.
Interestingly... I like a lot of things about Gen 4, and the general consensus is that the Gen 2 remakes, which are technically in Gen 4, are the best Pokemon games, like, as video games, as people's favorite gen, whatever, and that's considered Gen 4, like, that's based on the systems of Diamond and Pearl, which are the slowest Pokemon mainline games, the most obnoxious to get around, not necessarily the hardest, but they are difficult, and have some of the least interesting designs of the franchise. I feel very comfortable putting this one at the bottom just because this is the biggest example of, like, they really did try stuff, and some of that stuff is really cool. See our music episode. And some of those designs are great, but, like, the majority of Gen 4 is just this dull, repetitive, like, I totally forgot that I was on a cycling road at one point when in my playthrough. And I went back through the map, and I was like, oh, yeah, there was a whole cycling road. Like, ugh, because as soon as you go anywhere, you immediately forget the last thing you did, because none of it's memorable.
Yo, I just read something wild.
Yeah? Hit me with it.
I never played Fire Red and Leaf Green,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The color of dialogue changed based on your gender?
Oh, no.
You're...
Oh, no.
What? If you were a girl, everything anyone said to you was pink.
Oh no! This
is illegal. That's not okay.
Mods, please. Someone bring the mods. That's not allowed. I thought we killed gender.
Oh, that's so bad. Though you know they did fix pluralization. So now when you sell multiples of items, it correctly does plural or not plural based on how many you sold. Ugh. Fucking Gen 4. Fuck off.
Wasn't it Gen 4? No, Gen 5 is the one that correctly capitalized names. That was a big thing for me.
Mm.
Why didn't they do that before? I don't know. Programming, probably.
Though I will say Gen 4 did introduce the internet.
Yeah, big deal. No, like, that actually, like, actually big deal.
Yeah, that is a value add. For sure.
But what does that put it over? Anything?
No. I just want to give them its full credit.
Sure.
You know?
No, yeah. I mean, this is like one of my favorite franchises, period. So the one at the bottom is still a good game. But no, I definitely would say Gen 4 is the bottom of this list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is not... this ain't it, Chief.
This is not it, Chief.
So heading on... Generation 5.
Huh. Interesting. I've never played this one. What's it about?
It's about trash.
Uh-huh. You're selling me so far?
So you're in this area. It's called the Nova, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what if Pokemon and trainers sort of lived in harmony, but mostly it was just like trainers... built a lot of shit and didn't care very much about the environment. And that's it.
And then the environment got bad, and then Team Galactic was really cool. And then N was there, and he was like, we should save Pokemon. But his dad was like, no, actually, we don't want to save Pokemon. And he was like, no, Dad. And then he left his dad.
He was like, let's save Pokemon. And his dad was like, yes, for capitalism. And N was like, wait. What?
Real talk, Gen 5 finally is the most refined Pokemon game. It is the most, like, we understand what makes playing through these games fun. We're okay telling a story, even though it is, like, still a kid's game. We can tell an interesting story. We have all the online features you could ever want, and then some. And we made a completely unique deck, mostly full of stinkers, but they did it. It's ambitious as hell, and it didn't, like, I don't think it fails in that many ways, honestly.
I do think it has the best pacing of the ones we've talked about so far. I think it has the best pacing. I think it has the best, like, overarching story.
Easily.
I do think the region's a little bit boring as a region compared to some of the others. And as mentioned, the Pokemon design is a little eesh at times.
Yeah.
I do think it's definitely in the contention for the top spot. My beefs, I guess, are this: is it really does feel like a very good refinement, but it doesn't feel that revolutionary. It's extremely evolutionary in a way I admire, but it doesn't. It feels like what it is, right? Which is like, this is our last straw before moving on to the 3DS.
Yeah,
this is us like taking all the lessons and trying to build them into one game, which is extremely valuable. But I don't know if I can give it the top spot compared to, you know, like Gen 2, which went on a limb in so many areas.
But Gen 5 went out on a limb in a lot of ways.
Like what?
The Pokemon animate all the time.
So, like Crystal, then?
No, in Crystal they animated once when they were summoned and then they stopped moving.
Oh, wait, you're right. Okay,
that's great. They're constantly animating. They made a sequel to their own games. But Gen 2 did that, Alan. What are you talking about? That's not unique. But it's not that... But it's like hard where it needs to be and not just annoying and slow.
That's true. The pacing is definitely better. On the other hand, though, it does have Black 2 and White 2. Which have the worst pacing of any Pokemon.
What are you saying? I'm playing Black 2 as we speak.
And you're playing them with Pokemon you traded in, because if you just play the game, it doesn't fucking function.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. I mean, it's fun. That's cool that they made a hard game. It's ambitious.
It's not that it's hard. It's that it just requires so much upfront investment for it to work, it to function.
But the old ones did too. You don't remember how much you had to grind in Gen 2?
I'm sure you had to grind plenty, but you were still able to play the game at first.
Sure. I don't know. I would argue that Gen 5, that Black 2 is totally playable.
It I think if harder, Black 2, but... if Black 2 had been shipped as like DLC, like an expansion pass, where it's like come do the like Black 2 campaign and it automatically imported everything, then I think this would be a very different conversation. But as a game that you just buy, and then it's just so wildly unfriendly, I think it's really, really flawed.
You should replay it. I'm gonna buy you a copy and send it to you.
You don't need to. I own it.
Okay, let's do a playthrough.
I mean, you can buy me another copy if you want.
No. You're being silly.
But I think that Black 2 and White 2 really drag down this generation.
We're allowed to disagree, but we also have to come up with an answer.
I think it's below Gen 2.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I don't think anyone would fight with me on this. So that's fine.
I mean, I'm arguing in good faith, right?
Yeah.
If you really think it belongs at the top spot, like we should keep talking about this.
No, I mean it's like Smoochum. Like I'm not gonna argue that Smoochum's the best Pokemon. Of course not.
Okay. Alright. Well then we should move on to Gen 6. After, you know, the noise in your background stops. Though that might be a while, it sounds like. Just let me know.
You're good.
Okay. So, Gen 6.
That's your name, by the way.
It is. XY Alpha Sapphire Omega Ruby. It always annoys me that they call it Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Alpha literally means first and Omega literally means last. Why would you not flip those enlisting them?
Omega. Oh, just the way that they're said in the order that they're said. That's a nit. That's a small problem, my friend.
Sure. No, that's very fair. I guess it's because it was originally everyone said Ruby and Sapphire, so of course right. It becomes Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Anyway, so Heelys. I love Heelys. They're the best.
The best thing about Heelys, besides them being sick as hell, is that this is the. I think this is the first Pokemon game where you could finally just hold up somewhere and hatch eggs by just putting an elastic on your 3DS. Because you could just ride the Heelys through the city, and mm-hmm. the city would like loop around itself, and it was the first time that you could just like hop on those Heelys and go for a fun ride.
You sure could. It was great. It had like a great sense of style because it was Poke France, so it's like there were cool cities and there were beautiful countrysides. Okay. Here is a question for you. Are we going to be on the same? What is the best thing about the Heelys besides the Pokemon hatching?
The thing where you go up and down and like go opposite directions and it kind of like goes, like it does little screechies.
Oh, that's very good. And also you can do the twirl.
Oh, the twirl. I forgot about the twirl. Yes. You can do like, there's like a skate park or you can do stunts. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the thing where if you go into tall grass and then they do like the awkward like roller skate walk.
Oh, yeah.
I love that animation so much.
You're like lifting a foot each one. Yeah, that's
very good. Which like if you've ever, you know, ridden roller skates before, you head into like tall vegetation and suddenly you're doing this really awkward clumsy walk trying to make your wheels not roll. And yeah, I love it so much. Legitimately, this is my favorite thing from a Pokemon generation that hasn't returned. I want Heelys again.
Yeah, they tried instead of for a while they were just like, here's bikes, here's two bikes, here's three bikes, and here's another bike. And then it's like, well, now actually, what if you did something instead of bikes? And they did Heelys, and it was sick as hell.
It was great. You had the little like hop and click your heels together to make the wheels deploy, and
yeah.
So okay, we also got, this was the introduction of super training. This was Pokemon Bank. Mm-hmm. This was ambushes. This was Mega Evolution. This was 3D and Fairy type.
I do love Fairy type. Fairy type's one of my favorite types. Period.
I think this is a really strong generation. I think there probably isn't any single feature of it that, like, I mean, I love the Heelys. I don't think they're actually that revolutionary.
No, yeah, they're just fun.
I don't think there's any single feature here that I'd be like, this is like the greatest thing that Pokemon's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like this generation really made any missteps. I feel like it made a bunch of changes which were all good.
This is where I think Sword and Shield is very likely to land for me. Is mm-hmm. like X and Y felt very small scale, and it's like it's the shortest Pokemon game, I think. There isn't really like a significant end game. There's like a small one. The story is not like ridiculous and gigantic scale. It's just like you beat the bad guy and you move right along. And it has some of the old Pokemon, but it doesn't have everybody for a while, and then eventually you can transfer everyone. Like, this totally feels like what Sword and Shield is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or felt, I guess. This was a game that I played, like 2 years ago and just rented and beat in, like, a weekend or something, because it's just, like, you can chomp right through it. And it's not very memorable, but again, it's just, like, I had a good time. I remember having a pleasant time playing this game.
Yeah. I think its pacing was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that we got to spend some time hanging out with the bad guys, that they didn't just show up being evil. There were times when it was like, I mean, obviously they were evil, but we didn't realize it, and we got to have like coffee with them. Thought that was valuable.
True.
So like I can't hold anything against it necessarily, but I also don't like I don't know that it feels justified to give it a really high position.
You're saying you don't think it's justified getting very high on this list?
Because it's just like, good. You did good. You know?
Good.
You did good. I had a good time. But like, I don't know. I don't like.
Yeah, I wasn't, no one's going to like write in 10 years about how much Gen 6 was important to them and how much it meant to them or whatever.
Right? Exactly. It didn't, I feel like it didn't go out on any limbs. Like, especially in the plot. The plot was really, like, despite the fact that they actually had more storytelling than a lot of Pokemon gens, it was really unambitious.
Yeah.
It was like, what if we killed all the poor people? And I was like, what if we didn't? It's like, aha, you win. Okay.
Well, then what made the Gen 3 remake so interesting was that they really did. That's like the closest I got to we put everything in a Pokemon game.
Mm.
Like every single legendary is acquirable. We have the full decks. We got the Pokemon Bank. We have a retold story. We have a post game. Like it's probably the meatiest one.
It also for me felt like Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire felt like some of the most soulless Pokemon has ever felt.
Right. Because eventually when, hey, we again, weird. It's we keep hitting these theses by accident. When you put everything in the game, it starts to lack a like cohesive identity.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like a mishmash of things.
Mega Evolution in those games didn't feel right.
Right. It just felt like a button you could hit to instantly win certain fights.
Uh-huh.
Which it ultimately kind of ended up being a lot of times, but in competitive, people definitely got more creative with the Mega Evolutions and how they used them in like against each other.
Yeah, I mean, since we're considering them a package deal, since we consider the remakes as well, I'm thinking number three or number four. Well, I think it's number three because it's third on our list because I don't see any indication here that in either of these games your text changed color based on your gender.
Still mad.
So are we good with it at number three?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And this brings us to currently the last generation.
Maybe in a couple months we'll be able to re-litigate and put Gen 8 somewhere.
Mm, and we'll be like, actually, turns out Gen 1's the best gen. We were wrong. Yeah. So we're going to the Alola region. It's Hawaii. I will get my one big beef out of the way. No one else has ever shared this beef with me.
Not once.
But like, listen, it's called the Alola region and you say hi by saying Alola. It's like if we said hi in America by saying America. It's the stupidest fucking thing. I hate it so much. It makes me truly, genuinely angry.
It's very dumb.
Okay. Well, thank you. I can move on then. So this is an interesting one because it's a cross-generation. Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. People like Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
I think Let's Go Eevee is really good. I haven't played Pikachu. It's pretty similar, so probably it's also good.
Right. Imagine they're the same general structure.
It's so okay. HMs are gone forever.
Thank God.
God bless. The single best quality of life change Pokemon has ever made.
God bless the ring. Yes.
We got Z moves instead of... you can do Mega Evolutions, but it's kind of not really emphasized at all.
Mm-hmm.
Z moves are not great, to be honest. They're kind of like hype, but in their actual result is just like when you're fighting champion or whatever, you're like, there's one of your Pokemon I don't actually want to fight. Z move.
I'm just gonna skip this fight, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't create engaging gameplay, let's say. It's interesting because I think Sun and Moon and Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are actually so incredibly different.
Agreed.
For them to be the same generation is really remarkable, and I'm really curious to see what kind of fusion of these ideas they do for Sword and Shield, because, Let's Go is obviously very heavily inspired by Pokemon Go, and you have a lot of mechanics around, like, leveling by catching Pokemon, and there being no such thing as combat with wild Pokemon, which is wild.
It's very wild.
It's crazy. And... like, it makes things very strange. Because I feel like Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee have one of the strangest gaps of Pokemon value that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pikachu and Eevee get such a big spotlight in those games to a point where no Pokemon ever has before, right?
Right.
Eevee's writing on your shoulder. Eevee is part, like, you're seeing, like, classic, you know, like, red and blue, like, scripted sequences as cutscenes where Eevee is basically the main character.
Yeah.
And you can dress up Eevee, and Eevee comments on the environment as you're walking. And it's just, like, there's all of that, and yet you are catching, like, Rattatas by the dozen and throwing them in the garbage disposal to get Rattata candy.
You're almost making me, like, interested in playing it, or at least watching more of it, just because that's such a weird, dichotomy.
It's very strange. It's also, obviously, I think it's the easiest Pokemon game there's ever been.
Yeah.
You're so overleveled at all times.
I'm into it.
Without even trying. But also, one thing that they are definitely taking for Sword and Shield, you just access your Pokemon bank anytime you want.
Oh my god. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, like, them taking out features that people like the Dex, obviously, and then, like, they took out something that was bad, like HMs, or having to go to your box. And it's like, logically, no, I don't need a lore reason to go check my box, other than it gives me the sense that, like, this is the team I'm taking to the next Pokemon Center. I have to commit to this team and make sure it's balanced. And I understand that being a valid criticism of having your box anywhere, but, like, also, I don't care. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. Also, what, are you going to, like, bring a whole, like, you have, like, 15 leveled Pokemon? Like, no, you're still going to have your 6 that you need. But if you're like, oh, I want to level this guy real quick. Oh, there's somebody here I wish I could level him against. You can just pop him out, level him, and then put him back in the box.
And also, with leveling happening so fast in Let's Go, like, that's actually really simple to do. Like, you can change your team constantly. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
And compare that to, like, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which are, I would say, the most mechanically dense these games have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I mean, even in terms of, like, world, right, where, yeah, like, gyms are now the trials, and there are, like a bunch of, like, unique mechanics and systems for every trial, and there are the ultra wormholes where you head to other dimensions.
Fuck yeah.
And there are, like, multiple factions with multiple interests going on. There's, like, basically a conspiracy theory throughout the game.
I mean, it's all the things you're saying.
So I feel like it's hard to rate this generation, because I think there are a lot of really cool things in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like they come together into a single cohesive thing, necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, if I were to elevator pitch Gen 7, I wouldn't know what I would say.
Well, interestingly, I think Base, Sun and Moon, at least is, like, it felt like the most true to its marketing, where they were just like, you're going to go to these islands and you're going to fight these guys, and then that's going to be the whole game, and you're going to finish it, and it's going to be great. And it was that. And then, yeah, Ultra Sun and Moon is, like, now all the mechanics are stacked on top of each other, and once again, they made, like, a somewhat bloated, narratively incoherent, like, weird game, which mm-hmm. is interesting, but, like, not what I'm looking for. So I think I enjoyed Sun and Moon for how simple they ended. They felt at the time, but I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a mark for fucking Pokemon, buddy. I'm just, as the more we talk about this, I'm like, everything I'm seeing about Sword and Shield sounds like up my alley, pal. Like, weird gym leaders that I'm going to have to hear about the other gym leaders on Twitter, and, like, all these weird evolutions, and, like, Gigantamax battles, and, like, cooperative multiplayer. Like, what are you doing, Pokemon? I love it when they try shit like this.
Honestly, I just want to make curry.
I just want to make curry and feed it. I want to make curry made out of my Pokemon's bones. It'll be great. Wait, what? Yeah.
You're like, hey, Cubone. I know it's your mom's skull, but, like, pass it over.
Toss it over. I'll make a good, delicious snack. We'll make it a bowl, actually. It'll be like a bread bowl.
We get to make a broth, right?
Oh, yeah, at least.
Bone marrow in that. Or a stock. So, like, with Tokatsu... Or tonkatsu, excuse me.
Yeah, please.
It's like a pork bone broth. You mm-hmm. could do, like, a Cubone broth, but, like, what would you call that? What's Cubone in Japanese? Quick.
Obviously.
Karakarasatsu?
Oh. Katakatasatsu? Sure.
I'm sure that's bad Japanese. I'm sure. But, you know, listen. Yeah, where do we rank Gen 7? I'm dodging around the question because I don't know my answer.
Right under 5.
You think it's the third one? It's the third best?
Yes. I do.
Okay. Okay. I would see it higher if it had more cohesion.
Yeah. Definitely.
But it super doesn't, so it doesn't have a strong gen identity.
Remember when you have to spend like at least a full hour going to school in that game? What the fuck are you guys doing?
That was really annoying.
So annoying. And then you replay the game and you're like, oh my god, this is mandatory.
And you try and walk away and they're like, hey, where are you going? You're not done with school yet. And I'm like, so okay, our list from bottom to top.
Hmm.
Number 7, Gen 4.
Okay.
Number 6, Gen 1.
Okay.
Number 5, Gen 3. Number 4, Gen 6. Number 3, Gen 7. Number 2, Gen 5. Number 1, Gen 2. No gen in the same number space as it is.
Huh.
Which is interesting.
Congratulations. We're
good with that list?
Yeah, I'm good with that list.
All right. Well, this has been a really incoherent episode of the Johto Quorum.
Oh my god, we're at an hour. Fuck. I was going to talk about Darumaka. Fuck. I did all this research before we hit record. I'm going to forget all of this next week.
Good. You need to come in clean. I don't want a tainted judge.
Tainted.
This is my real motivation, is I heard you doing all that research, and I was like, I've got to make all that research be wasted.
I can't. I got to make sure all this research goes in the garbage. I'll have beaten Gen 5 by the time we reconvene. Black 2, I mean.
Oh, for a second, I thought you said Gen 8, and I was like,
Jesus,
no, we won't have it.
It won't be out yet. If we did this right, then that shouldn't be out yet.
Yeah.
No, maybe I'll, because I'm at 6 badges going to the 7th, so I could do it. I could do it.
You are 6 badges going on 7 badges.
Let's call the podcast off. This has been a very incoherent, well-paced episode of the Johto Quorum podcast, the premier Pokemon podcast for you, the Pokemon fans.
This is part of, like, you know, we joke about how we're a legislative body, right?
Sure,
and we joke because we are one, but also we joke about it.
Yeah.
But we never want this to become desk work.
No, we have that in our real lives, in our day-to-days.
And sometimes we have to just do random shit with an episode to keep things fresh around here. Or stale, because we, like a bunch of old men, complained about Zoomers for the first 20 minutes.
We're gonna get so canceled. I mean, we already are canceled, but we're gonna get really canceled.
Alright, Alan, where can people find you upon the internet?
Well, folks, I'm on some other podcasts, mainly Chats, a television podcast, that's CHATC, where Quorum guest Magellan, my friend, and I talk about TV shows. And as we near the end of Babylon 5, I do recommend people check out that podcast. We have a large backlog, as well as a Patreon over at patreon.com/chatspod, where you can donate some money and help me get paid for my work and get bonus content. So Chats, CHATC, check that shit out, please.
All right. And for me, I'm on SixStem or on Twitter, and I got some podcasts, but they're in that pinned tweet there. You should check out that pinned tweet.
I should make a pinned tweet, right?
Pinned tweets are a good thing to have. You never tell anyone about your Twitter, so it doesn't really seem like as useful. It's usually for like when people are newly discovering you.
Yeah.
And you don't let people, so that doesn't seem...
They're not allowed. You're not allowed to get to know me on there. My account is public. If you can find it, you can find it. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. But I'm technically back on Twitter in a sort of reduced context.
Oh, by the way, for those who are curious, cut rates.
Ooh, rates. Gen 1.
So how many did we... What percent did we cut? Gen 1, 62%. Gen 2, 40%. Gen 3, 61%. Gen 4, 56%.
Whoa. That's not shocking.
And the fact that we kept that many from Gen 4 is pretty surprising.
Yeah, that's the part that's surprising, yes.
And so far in Gen 5,
oh God.
Any guesses?
30% kept. Oh, wait. So, like, 70% cut.
27% cut so far.
What?
We've kept so much of this gen so far.
You're kidding. I feel like there were huge swaths where we were just like, yeah, I guess this is all garbage.
I mean, it could be easily a case where because the gen is incomplete, the math is weird.
Oh, sure.
It could also be a case where, actually, just out of curiosity, I'm going to type in Gen 6 because we do have a few things from fucking, like, mega evolutions and shit.
Yeah.
So we'll do Gen 6, see how that shows up. We cut 18% of
the Gen
6 mega evolutions, basically. And then Gen 7 of Alolan forms, we cut 8% of Alolan forms. We kept almost every Alolan form.
They're very good.
They're very good. But those numbers will change as we actually get to those generations. And you know what? If those numbers seem wrong to you, if you think that that's unjust, jodokorum@gmail.com. We are happy to take your feedback. I'm going to do the thing again where I check and I find out that the only email I have is an automated email from Google that I've never deleted. It's loading?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, this one's from September 3rd. It's been
1 week since you looked at me.
It's been like five months and they just sent it to me again. Because they're worried about my security.
Oh, I'm worried about your security.
Me too. Anyway. Thank you so much, everyone. But until next time, Alan.
This is a game for kids. So let's be adults.
Peace.
Bye.